On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this Divine Mercy Sunday, we remember, thank, and pray for in a special way Pope Francis, our Holy Father. In the providence of God, he allowed Pope Francis to taste the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And the next day of Easter, passed away, we pray, into eternal life. On this, the last day of the octave of Easter, we thank the Lord for his life as a Son of God the Father, but also for his ministry as our Holy Father. My greatest memory of Pope Francis was World Youth Day in 2016, Poland, when Pope Francis had announced the Year of Mercy. Every country throughout the world, flags of every nation were there, and the theme was, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." They were singing songs, you'd hear it all the time. Even if you didn't know what the language was, you're pretty sure they were saying, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Bishop Rhodes, in his statement on Pope Francis, said beautifully that the legacy Pope Francis left us was exactly that, that the church is the Lord's heart of mercy. That Pope Francis taught us again and again that Christ has called and commanded his people to show others mercy. That World Youth Day, that Year of Mercy, and all throughout Pope Francis' papacy, he was constantly teaching about the mercy of our Lord and the mercy he calls each one of us to. We hear mercy and sometimes can have the notion that it's kind of a legal term, which is true, but not the full story. That it's, "Lord, please don't treat me as I deserve injustice. Have mercy." Fair, that's true. But more than that, mercy is healing. It's love passed what we deserve. At every Mass, we pray, Lord, have mercy. Today, during the octave of Easter, we omit it so as to celebrate the baptismal renewal of vows and sprinkling. We're supposed to spring the Gloria as well, but have mercy on me today. We pray, Lord, have mercy constantly. And we sometimes think, through my fault, through my fault, through my fault, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, as if to say, I'm the worst, I'm the worst, I'm the worst. And again, Lord, you have to have mercy on me because I'm so bad. But actually, the prayer is a knocking on the door of our hearts of, Lord, I open the door to you. I open the door to you, and I open the door to you. And the Lord have mercy is supposed to be the Kyrie eleison, which is, eleison comes from oil being poured into our wounds. Rather than I'm the worst, or out of justice, have mercy on me, rather it's heal me. Christ, heal me. Lord, heal me. But the Lord longs to heal our wounds. That mercy is love in the most miserable. That our God longs to love those who are in the deepest misery. And our God, as Pope Francis called us to, we must love others when they are in their deepest miseries. The deepest misery is sin. It's why we have confession, not as the place of judgment, but as the place where we can experience the deepest healing possible. When the Lord pours oil into our wounds and heals us from the wound of sin. Mercy in the deep wound of death. And by Christ's resurrection, he heals the wound of even death itself. But also, mercy in the wounds of our pain, of our being rejected, of our oppression, of our poverty, of those who go without. We beg the Lord for mercy, and he's so happy to give it, but he also calls us to give mercy away freely to those who go without. And lastly, it takes a great deal of faith to trust in the mercy of God. The truth that our God longs to give his mercy, that he is always seeking out ways to pour out his mercies in the places we are most miserable. That's a painful wound, because the places we are most miserable is where it hurts the most, and it's the place where it's hardest to trust God the most. So, to finish up, I'm going to preach on the psalm, something I've not done before. We are today, and also on Easter Sunday, Psalm 118, the great psalm of victory, that Christ has won the battle over sin, death, and all of our wounds. But it's a difficult psalm to pray at times. Bible scholars agree that in the night before Jesus died for us, it says they sang a hymn, and they're quite confident the hymn finished with this psalm. The last words of Psalm 18 are, "His mercy endures forever." They finish the great song singing, "His mercy endures forever," and that is exactly when Jesus entered into the night of his passion. Right when it was hardest to believe, he sang out, "His mercy endures forever." Like Thomas, when we struggle to believe in the mercy of God that enters into death itself, we must sing, "His mercy endures forever." When it's easy, we sing, "His mercy endures forever." When we can feel and experience his mercy endures forever. But also, when it takes faith, our refrain is, "His mercy endures forever." So lastly, as a prayer, I invite us all to pray Psalm 118 in a new way. I will say a sentence, and you all respond, "His mercy endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say,
"His mercy endures forever."
Let the house of Aaron say,
"His mercy endures forever."
Let those who fear the Lord say,
"His mercy endures
He rejoices in the lost sheep and welcomes home the prodigal son. His mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. He removes our guilt and cleanses us from our sin. He holds the keys to death and is the life and resurrection. His mercy endures forever. He pours gifts on his beloved while they sleep. His mercy endures forever. By his wounds we are healed. His mercy endures forever. He slowly removes our grasp from our idols.
His mercy endures forever.
As a good father, he disciplines his children.
His mercy endures forever.
He brings us to trials to learn to trust him.
His mercy endures forever.
He humbles us that he might raise us up.
His mercy endures forever.
He molds our hearts to become merciful.
His mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Eternal rest grant unto Pope Francis, we pray, O Lord. May perpetual light shine upon him. May the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.